men alltså har man varit med om skitjobbiga saker, då kan du ju få ont i huvudet till exempel.
Om man liksom varit enormt stressad, fått ett väldigt negativt besked, kan man vakna upp 2 dagar senare och vara sjuk. Och det börjar ju komma mycket medicinsk forskning om de här kopplingarna, för vi vet ju att immunförsvaret är kopplat till stressnivåer.
There's an expression in English that the good die young and they do. Because the suppression of healthy anger, the non-expressing your needs, of not setting boundaries, the taking on the needs of others while ignoring your own, they stress you. Emotions have an impact on our physiology. Now, people who are traumatized, who are stressed, that affects their nervous system, it affects their intestines, it affects their immune system, their hearts, their lungs. It's really very simple scientifically.
Välkommen till Hälsorevolutionen. Vi är ju podden för dig som söker livsbalans, är nyfiken på det senaste inom hälsoområdet och vill utvecklas hela tiden. Jag är Carina Lundstedt, poddens producent, förläggare och författare.
Ja, och idag ska vi borra ner oss i en ny gren av den medicinska forskningen. Hur påverkar våra känslor vår fysiska hälsa? En ny gren av immunologin, det man kallar psykoneuroimmunologi, visar just hur vårt sjukdomsförsvar kan sänkas av mycket stress. Så kan man bli sjuk av att vara för snäll och omtänksam? Ja, det verkar finnas forskning som visar på ett samband. Och kan gamla barndomstrauman dyka upp och skapa ångest och sjukdom långt senare i livet? Maria Borelius här, biolog och vetenskapsjournalist.
Och vi ska ju koppla ihop oss med Kanada, eller hur?
Ja.
Så småningom. Så här är det. Ni ska få möta en läkare som blev världskändis när han nyligen gjorde en intervju med Prince Harry i samband med att Harrys bok om hans barndom släpptes. Och så här lät det då.
The Duke and the Doctor, as Prince Harry opens up again in what he says is a community service.
My wife saved me.
Praise for Meghan during this conversation with renowned trauma expert Dr. Gabor Mate.
I was stuck in this world.
Yeah.
And she was from a different world and
yeah. Han är läkare, bor i Kanada. Han är snart 80 år fyllda specialist på barndomstrauma. Och han är alltså aktuell nu med sin bok som har blivit en världssuccé, och den kommer ut på svenska här i februari och heter Myten om det normala. Han har en personlig erfarenhet av trauma dessutom. Han föddes 1944 i Budapest mitt under den värsta judeutrotningen när många i hans familj skickades för att dö i lägren. Och det här har satt spår i hans sätt att tänka, har han berättat.
Mm. Men det är ju spännande det här med relationen känsloliv och sjukdom. Vad får du för tankar när du hör om det?
Alltså för mig känns det fullständigt naturligt på något sätt. Jag tycker att jag har sett exempel på det utan att lämna ut någon. Så det här, det pratar ju vi ganska ofta om det här, att det liksom måste hänga ihop på något sätt. Exakt hur finns det ju inte forskning kring på längden och tvären. Men det är ju ändå en övergripande känsla att, nej men alltså, har man varit med om skitjobbiga saker, då kan du ju få ont i huvudet till exempel, eller hur?
Precis, och man kan bli, om man liksom varit enormt stressad, fått ett väldigt negativt besked, kan man vakna upp 2 dagar senare och vara sjuk. Och det börjar ju komma mycket medicinsk forskning om de här kopplingarna, för vi vet ju att immunförsvaret är kopplat till stressnivåer.
Mm.
Så jag är liksom lite tudelad inför det här, för att jag tycker å ena sidan att det är väldigt spännande, och det är klart att människan är en varelse. Hon är ju både sina känslor, som ju till slut är biologi inne i kroppen, och sen är hon sin fysiska varelse. Men en sak som är viktig tycker jag i allt det här, det är ju att få inte skapa skuld. Därför att det är nog att ha en svår sjukdom, och man ska liksom inte behöva tänka att, ja men jag kanske inte hanterade mina barndomstrauman tillräckligt bra. Det är därför jag har cancer nu.
Nej.
Eller till exempel många mammor som hade barn som fick Asperger på 60- och 70-talet. De blev anklagade för att de hade varit kalla mot barnen. Och sen har det visat sig att det finns en väldigt biologisk komponent i den här, i att ha Asperger, alltså högfungerande autism. Så
det finns väl ganska många sjukdomar där mamman har fått skulden genom år. Jag tänker på anorexi också. Nu är jag absolut ingen expert på det, men det känns som att det slentrianmässigt har skuldbelagts där.
Ja, det är som en sån här kompassnål som bara vrumretar upp liksom norr direkt, ja. Och det är alltid mamman. Det var kall mamma, det var neurotisk mamma, det var dittan, det var dattan. Så att man får ta i det här, tycker jag, och lyssna. Det är en otroligt intressant bok. Jag har ju läst den. Det finns väldigt mycket dokumentation, kopplingar till olika svåra sjukdomar. Men vi får ta det med lite humanism också, så att vi inte börjar peka finger och säga, ja men du har ju fått cancer för att du är stressad, och jag sa ju till dig att du var stressad och du lyssnade inte på mig. Alltså, vi ska liksom inte hamna där, utan mer i
Det här är ju svåra grejer, det är väldigt komplext. Om man har med sig ett barndomstrauma, det är väl inte bara att liksom ignorera det eller välja bort det, utan det finns ju med.
Det finns med, precis. Men det är ändå intressant det här han försöker göra, Gabor Maté, tror han heter på ungerska, och Mate på engelska. Och jag är på ett läger här nu i Costa Rica, och där har jag träffat människor som precis har träffat honom och säger att han är helt fantastisk. Så jag ser väldigt mycket fram emot.
Vad roligt, vad spännande.
Vi ska
men
få möta honom.
Då försöker vi koppla upp oss då.
Det gör vi.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Den här veckan så fortsätter vi vårt roliga sponsrade samarbete med Skinome, färsk hudvård. Produkter helt utan konserveringsmedel och andra onödiga tillsatser. Det här är ett svenskt hudvårdsföretag grundat av hudforskaren Dr. Johanna Gillbro. Och idag ska vi fortsätta prata om Skinomes innovativa solskyddsprodukter. Eller hur, Maria?
Ja, vi gillar ju båda att njuta av solen, liksom de flesta svenskarna. Solen är ju inte bara en källa till glädje och värme och ljus. Den är ju också vår främsta naturliga källa till D-vitamin, och det mår vi ju bra av. Och som alla vet kan för mycket solexponering medföra risker på grund av solens ultravioletta strålar, det vi kallar UV-strålning. Vi vet hur viktigt det är att skydda huden på bästa sätt. Och både Carina och jag har börjat använda Skinomes solskydd Sanne Malschen.
Ja, vår sponsor Skinome erbjuder 2 solskydd med olika solskyddsfaktor. Dels Sanne Malschen SPF 50+, och så den senaste nyheten Sanne Malschen SPF 30. Och båda de här ansiktsprodukterna går att använda som enda dagkräm om man vill, då de också innehåller både vårdande och återfuktande ingredienser samt prebiotika som stärker ditt mikrobiom.
Tänk på att applicera rikligt med solkräm just i ansiktet. Förutom att stärka skyddet mot cancer så kan du också minska risken för UV-inducerade ålderstecken. Och då talar vi om rynkor, pigmentfläckar och brustna blodkärl. Skinomes senaste nyhet, Sanne Malschen Solskyddsfaktor 30, innehåller också en innovativ ingrediens från den svenska västkusten. Vi talar om algika som tillverkas just av alger. Studier visar att algika förstärker den solskyddande effekten av UV-filter och skyddar huden mot miljörelaterade luftföroreningar.
Ja, det här är innovativt. Skinomes solkrämer passar både barn och vuxna, även de med känslig hud. Om du blir osäker på om du ska ha solskyddsfaktor 50 eller 30, så kan du gå in på Skinomes hemsida och göra deras solskyddstest.
Just nu så kan du prova Skinome solskydd och övriga hudvårdsprodukter extra förmånligt. Med koden Hälsorevolutionen 20 så får du 20% rabatt under april månad. Rabatten gäller inte på redan nedsatta varor. Gå in på skinome.com och beställ den nya generationen solskydd.
So, we'd like to welcome you, Gabor Maty, author of The Myth of Normal, Trauma, Illness and Healing in a Toxic Culture. In Swedish, Myten om det normala. Very welcome to Health Revolution.
Thank you.
You are a doctor with a very broad background, and you are also a survivor out of the European Holocaust, being of Hungarian Jewish descent. Tell us through which glasses you look at the world.
Well, no one aspect of my history will explain how I see the world. It's all a unit, you know. I mean, and there are some people who are doctors who don't see the things the way I do. There's some people who are Holocaust survivors who don't see things the way I do. So it's very much my individual experience, my whole life.
Mm. The main gist of your wonderful book, which is super interesting. I'm a biologist and I learned a lot about psychoneuroimmunology. But it is that a toxic culture is making us sick in many different ways. Manifestly sick both physiologically and psychologically. When you say a toxic culture, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you're a biologist, you will know exactly what I'm talking about, because if you're working in a laboratory and you have a petri dish and you're growing some microorganisms in a culture medium, we call it a culture medium, at least in English we do, and the organisms are doing okay and they're proliferating and growing and healthy, then it's a healthy culture. But if a large number start getting sick or not thriving, not reproducing or dying, you'd say it must be a toxic culture. Mm. So when I look at the human culture, it's the same thing. As individuals, we're not separable from our environments. So when large numbers of people are having all kinds of physical or mental health problems, as is the case today, you have to say, well, in what way is the culture doing that? And my contention is that the human culture that we're living in is toxic because it doesn't meet human needs. There's a lot of human needs that it doesn't meet, that it even frustrates and undermines. So what is normal, what we're used to in this society, is completely unhealthy for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. You write interestingly in the book about how you started seeing this more clearly after starting to talk to your patients in a new way, not only about their diseases, but also in a wider sense about their lives. Tell us what happened.
Well, as a family doctor, which is, I did that for 20 years before I went to addiction medicine and so on, I had an advantage over the specialists. Now, the specialists knew a lot more about the physical aspects of a certain disease than I did. Of course, that's their job, but they didn't know the patients. But I knew them before they got sick. And I knew them in the context of their families and their family histories. And I began to notice that who got sick and who didn't wasn't accidental, that there were certain emotional and personality and behavior patterns that I kept noticing in the people who developed chronic illness by chronic fatigue or colitis or multiple sclerosis or rheumatoid arthritis or depression, addiction, whatever. There were certain things happened to them. And so that when it came to healing, yes, we gave the physical treatments, but we also had to look at what happened to them and why did they become the way they were and how could they possibly not just deal with the physical aspects of their illness, but to heal the emotional patterns that contribute to the illness. So I began to ask questions and start talking to people. And then I found out that there's a whole literature, scientific literature, explaining all of that, that nobody had ever taught me in medical school, which is really astonishing. Because we talk about doctors being evidence-based and science-based. There's a lot of science and evidence that we're never taught. And that has to do with the unity of the mind and the body.
So how did the patients react? They came to you with a manifest or for a diagnosis of a certain maybe physical condition, and you started talking to them about their lives and what had happened to them. How did the patients react? Did they tell you freely, or was it reluctant, or what happened?
Well, that has to do with relationship. I mean, most of my patients trusted me, and they trusted that I was on their side. So when I asked these questions, the vast majority were very grateful. I'd written a previous quote called When the Body Says No, and the first case in that is of a woman with scleroderma, which is a very serious autoimmune disease. And she said, you were the first person to ever listen to me.
That can be very powerful.
Yeah, and a lot of people have that experience, that you actually you're interested in me as a person, not just in my physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. Now, some patients don't want to go there. It's too painful. It's too emotionally challenging. Then you don't force it. You don't push anybody. But when people get the invitation, an invitation is, can I just listen to you? And can you tell me about your life? And can I find out what happened to you? Most people welcome that. Most people are very grateful, actually.
Especially if they meet a listening doctor, I guess.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're not taught in medical school is how to listen.
I would like to ask you a little bit about the toxic culture, because you could argue that humanity comes out of millions of years, or, you know, if we're talking about the cultured human, 10,000 of years of extreme hardship. If you were a Roman slave, or if you were just of our forebears who were farmers fighting starvation, disease. So what is new in our culture? What kind of new toxicity have we added that is creating this explosion of welfare diseases that we're seeing right now?
Well, if you actually look at it from the point of view of research, as you said, human beings have been on the earth for millions of years. And our own species, Homo sapiens, we've been here for about maybe 200,000 years, maybe more. All those millions of years, and most of that 200,000 years, we lived out in nature, very connected to nature, in small bands, 80 to 100 people who gathered food together, who hunted together, who lived together, raised their children together, lived in a community. So basically we're communal creatures connected to nature. And there's lots of evidence that those people were pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. When the immigrants from Europe began to come to North America in the 17th and 18th centuries, they were surprised how healthy the natives were. Why wouldn't they be? They lived out in nature, you know, they're physically active, you know. But we had these needs for community and connection. And the biggest toxicity of our culture is that it gives us the idea that our nature as human beings is to be aggressive, individualistic, competitive, and selfish, and it's everybody against everybody else. So this society cuts people off from each other, and it creates separations and inequalities. And that's very toxic. We know from lots of studies that the more inequality in a society, the greater the illness. The more the isolation in society, the greater the illness. And there's an epidemic of loneliness in today's culture. Loneliness is as toxic to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And yet there's an epidemic, you know. So there's also, of course, the way we eat and what we eat. There's the stresses of modern life, where in Sweden, in Canada, in the North, we're the wealthiest societies that have ever existed. But in the midst of all this wealth, people are living under so much stress. And that stress has an impact on the body, on the immune system, on the heart, on the nervous system. So there's lots of ways. Then the way we raise kids, even the way we give birth. There's so many ways in which we're interfering with healthy, natural processes. And that's why the society is so toxic.
You have been a family doctor, you wrote in the book, helping more than 1,000 children into the world.
Well, about 1,000.
About 1,000. So it's interesting, because I think the birthing room is a place where a lot of this change has taken place.
Yeah.
And in Sweden, you know, there has been a fight like between the midwives who wanted a more natural birth and the more medicalized viewpoint. And you've had the same, I guess, in Canada and the US. So how do we find a balance between what is natural, which still yielded a lot of children who were born and died, yet being able to give qualified medical assistance when it is needed. It's a good illustration. What is a good balance, do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's just acknowledge that modern obstetrics has saved a lot of lives. The lives of children, the life of mothers, or the health of mothers, or the health of children. So I'm not arguing against that. But that doesn't mean that birth is a medical process. It's a natural process. Medicine should come in when there's a problem. Medicine should not create problems. And here in British Columbia, Canada, where I live, the cesarean section rate is almost 40%. That means 4 out of 10 women don't deliver naturally anymore. If you look at the world, those numbers are going up. In some countries, it's 50%. Now, scientifically speaking, there should be cesarean sections about 10 to 15% of the time. What's happened is that we've made birth into a pathological process. Now, if you look at it from the scientific and natural point of view, birth isn't just a mechanical event pushing the baby out into the world. Birth, the natural birthing process, releases hormones and chemicals, oxytocin and endorphins and vasopressin and other chemicals that bond the baby with the mother and vice versa. When we create mechanized births and we put lights and noise and machines and people coming in and out and a lot of anxiety, we're actually interfering with the natural process without justification. So I've learned a lot from working with midwives. Is when I started listening to midwives that I changed the way I delivered babies. It made a huge difference.
How did you change? What did you do that you didn't do before, or what didn't you do?
Well, for one thing, women don't have to lie on their backs with their feet in stirrups, which is the way we used to deliver babies, you know. And pardon me for this one, but I mentioned this in the book. A midwife said to me, try having a shit while lying on your back with your feet in the air.
And it's not just any shit, Dr. Mate. It's a watermelon size, you know, so it's like a major thing. I've given birth to 4 kids, so I know exactly.
Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is, I was taught that every woman needed to be cut, an episiotomy, that I have to make the vaginal opening larger to let the baby out, like nature doesn't know what it's doing, you know? Then there was, and the midwife said, no, you don't. Sometimes you may have to, but you don't automatically, routinely have to do it.
Mm.
Now then, there were scientific studies by doctors who showed that the midwives were right all along. So I stopped cutting people. I also cut the noise. Cut the anxiety, make sure that the woman feels safe and supported rather than scared, you know. So there's lots of ways that I changed once I started working with midwives, which didn't mean that I gave up my medical knowledge. It just meant that my medical knowledge didn't become the governor, the dictator. It became a servant. That's the point.
That's beautiful. So what is the exact process by which you can say that trauma connects to increased incidences of diseases? How are emotions connected to birth of disease as science sees it now?
So first of all, if you look at the research on it, you can see that people with multiple sclerosis, with rheumatoid arthritis, with intestinal problems, with asthma, typically have had more stress and trauma in their lives. And the more you have, the greater the risk. For example, lots of studies have shown that the more stressed the parents are, the greater the risk for the child having asthma. I could give you many, many studies on that. It happens because even though as doctors we're taught to separate the organs and the mind from the body, and so that, you know, the neurologists know about the nervous system and the cardiologists know about the heart and the gastroenterologist knows about the intestines, and the psychiatrist knows something, not very much, about the mind and the brain. Actually, it's all one. Mm-hmm. So science has shown that you can't separate the immune system from the hormones, from the nervous system, and from the emotional system. It's all one system. So when things happen emotionally, naturally, it's going to have a physiological effect, and that's easy to prove. If I just started yelling at you right now, even though, I don't know, I'm 6,000 miles away from you, or if I changed my tone and started speaking to you in a different way, your body would change like that. Your emotions would trigger a whole set of physical reactions in your body,
anymore.
Now this happens 24/7, so that our emotions have an impact on our physiology. Now people who are traumatized, who are stressed, that affects their nervous system, it affects their intestines, it affects their immune system, their hearts, their lungs. It's really very simple scientifically.
Your book is very rich in examples, and you talk about low-degree inflammation, you talk about epigenetics, which we have talked about here before in the podcast. But you also have some very interesting connections between personality types and certain types of disease, certain types of cancer, ALS, immunological disease. And you introduce a new concept to me, which is the type C personality. Tell us about her, because it sounds like an archetypical woman, type C. Could also be a male, I guess.
Well, so first of all, it wasn't my original concept. And it's not actually that there's a type C personality, is that there's type C traits, but they can change. But these are the traits that show up in people with malignancy and people with autoimmune disease. And by the way, you mentioned women. And there's this big mystery. How come women have 70-80% of autoimmune disease? And why are women more prone to malignancy not related to smoking? Or if they do smoke, why do their risk of cancer go doubles over that of men? You know? And if you look at these personality traits, you'll also find that these are the traits that women are expected to take on in this culture. And that's another of the toxicities. And I can kind of list them very quickly for you. Number one, an automatic and compulsive concern for the emotional needs of others while ignoring your own. Identification with duty, role, and responsibility rather than the needs of the self. Number three, repression of healthy anger, being very nice, not even feeling your anger, let alone expressing it. And number four, the belief that A, you're responsible for what other people feel, and B, you must never disappoint anybody.
It sounds like a very nice person. If you would meet this person, it would be a very agreeable person.
I always worry about the very nice people. And there's an expression in English that the good die young, and they do. Because the suppression of healthy anger, the non-expressing your needs, the not setting boundaries, the taking on the needs of others while ignoring your own, they stress you. And that stress damages your chromosomes, it causes inflammation in your body, it suppresses the immune system or confuses it, it creates problems in your intestines. So those are the four traits. And nobody's born like that. Because you said you've had four children. You tell me if you ever met a one-day-old baby that suppresses their feelings and tries to be nice to please you.
No, not my kids, and no other kids either. So if we have these traits, how can we work with them if we feel we are stuck with agreeableness and have a hard time expressing needs? What do you recommend a type C person to do?
Well, first of all, to realize that you weren't born like that, like I just said, so that you develop these traits for a good reason. So you can ask yourself, how did I become this way? That's where trauma comes in. And that's where you have to look at what happened in childhood. Something happened between the time that you were one day old and the time you became this really nice person suppressing themselves. Something happened. And what happened is you were wounded. You were not accepted for who you were. Maybe you were hurt. I don't know what happened, but something happened. So first of all, just understand this isn't you. These traits are not you. They're adaptations, number one. Number two, and in the book, of course, the last section of the book is all about healing, so that this is the longest part of the book. But one simple question, for example, where are you not saying no in your life? And by that I mean where there's a no that wants to be said, but you're not saying it. And why aren't you saying it? Because you're afraid of displeasing people. You're afraid that you might look selfish. So I don't know. So I landed in your city. And I phoned you up and I said, do you want to have coffee? But you don't feel like it because you've been up all night with your kids who were sick and you were tired. You want to say no. But you don't say no because you're trying to be nice. And you're trying not to disappoint me. And you're trying to meet my needs. Or maybe you're afraid that if you say no, I won't like you. So you say yes. What's going to be the impact on you? How's that going to affect you?
Yeah, that's a good example. Tired and angry with myself and with you also, which is interesting. I will put it on you having made me say yes, even though I didn't want to.
Exactly. So that little word that you're not saying has a huge impact. And if you're always doing that, if that's how you live, it's going to make you sick. So the first question I ask people is, where do you not say no?
Yeah, very good question. Where do you not say no?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Denna vecka har vi ett betalt samarbete med Bosch som precis har kommit ut med sin nya köksmaskin serie 6. Och jag har ju alltid älskat att baka och har tänkt att jag vill baka lite oftare eftersom det gör mig så glad. Och nu har jag hittat ett sätt som gör det både enklare och smidigare.
Vad kul! Och vad ska du baka för något?
Ja, men igår så testade jag att baka bananbröd som jag gillar väldigt mycket eftersom det även är ganska hälsosamt. Jag hade i valnötter och inte så mycket socker som det står i receptet. Och först tänkte jag att det skulle vara krångligt att baka med en bakmaskin, för det har jag aldrig gjort innan. Och jag skulle sätta ihop olika delar, trodde jag. Men så var det inte, utan jag känner redan att serie 6 är en pålitlig vän i köket, för det var faktiskt väldigt enkelt.
Ja, vi är ju lite lika där, Karina. Tycker ibland att det är jobbigt med för mycket bruksanvisningar av teknisk karaktär, men den här gången var det kul.
Ja, Bosch serie 6 är en väldigt snygg och cool köksmaskin, bara en sån sak. Den levereras ihopsatt och det är inte svårt att förstå hur man ska komma igång. Jag håller fortfarande på att utforska alla funktioner och automatiska program. Bland annat så har den smarta sensorer som gör bakningen enklare genom att den känner av när det du bakar har perfekt konsistens. Och därtill så har den en unik 3D-mixning som efterliknar handknådning och fångar upp alla ingredienser så att inget lämnas kvar i botten av skålen, vilket ju kan vara irriterande annars. Ja, jag får återkomma lite närmare till just den funktionen när jag bakar bröd nästa gång. Eller om jag ska baka kanelbullar, det var ju länge sedan.
Jag vet ju, det gillar ju du, det är ju väldigt gott. Och det här med 3D-mixningen låter ju väldigt spännande. Hur ofta funderar man inte på om degen verkligen blir genomarbetad när det står knåda väl i receptet, eller hur?
Ja, precis. Och för mig är det viktigt att det är enkelt att lyckas med bakningen för att jag ska liksom dra igång ett bakprojekt. Och jag tycker att serie 6 gör bakningen ännu mer lustfylld genom att den är så enkel att hantera. Det gäller bara att välja program och sen kan man luta sig tillbaka medan maskinen gör jobbet. Eller varför inte fixa köket medan degen knådas?
Låter perfekt. Bors nya serie 6 finns att köpa redan nu hos Power. Och där kan man även få mer info om köksmaskinen. Och vi återkommer snart med mer inspiration och berättar hur det går med Karinas vårbakning.
You talk in your book a lot about the importance of a warm and balanced and loving childhood. Even non-perfect people, in fact, most people are non-perfect, get children. So you're not afraid that kind of putting this pressure on parents will make people freak out. How can I be this perfect parent who is balanced, loving, you know, all the time? I'm like living with my surrounding and being stressed and everything. How can we cherish this knowledge whilst also being accepting of parents as they are?
Yeah. So first of all, we have to recognize that parenting today is a very unnatural process because as we evolved for millions of years, parenting wasn't done by isolated individual parents or couples. It was done by the community. So that there's way too much stress and pressure on today's parents.
Yeah, parents are lonely with their children. It's true.
That's, yeah. That's what I'm saying. And so that it's not their fault. So first of all, take off any blame. Don't blame yourself. And also, parents used to have the support of grandparents and grandmothers and grandfathers and neighbors and friends, and so that they don't have to be perfect because the community would hold the whole family, you know? It's just totally unnatural today. That's the first point. The second point is you don't have to be perfect. Nobody, no human beings can ever be perfect. But you have to at least recognize what's going on so that don't make it your kid's fault. So if there's a problem, I got a bad kid. No, you don't. You have a kid who is troubled for some reason. Be curious about what's going on and what stresses might you be transferring to your child and try to adjust as much as you can. So it's not a question of putting pressure on people to be perfect. It's a question of making parents aware. And there's one more thing. I don't know about Sweden, but in North America, there's so much terrible advice that parents get. So parents, for example, are told not to pick up the kids when they're crying. That's terrible. You try and tell a mother monkey or a baboon or a cat not to soothe their kids when they're crying. Well, we're telling this to mothers all the time. That you're spoiling the kid. It's nonsense. Kids need to be held and picked up and soothed. You know, we're told all kinds of ways of punishing our kids for behaviors that is not their fault and they're not deliberately doing. Why are we punishing three-year-olds? They don't understand any of that. So one of the things that makes parenting so difficult is, first of all, the isolation. But secondly, the terrible advice that parents get. And they're told to concentrate more on the child's behaviors than on the child's emotional experience.
So I think in your book, you make a beautiful argument for individual disease as part of a larger web. But most of us cannot wait for society as a whole to change. Or, you know, we can't change our childhood. We can't change, wait for a bad spouse to heal. So
if you have a neurotic spouse, you can't heal them, but you can make a decision about whether or not you want to be with them, you know, or do I put up with all this stuff, you know? I mean, one of the ways I've had to learn and grow is my wife said no. She said, I'm not putting up with this stuff. And I had a decision to make. So if you have a spouse that's hurting you or behaving in ways that's creating a lot of stress for you, you have a decision to make. Do I choose the relationship or do I choose myself? And that choice may be painful, but the question is, which pain would you rather have? The pain of suppressing yourself? Or the pain of choosing yourself and maybe losing their relationship? That's an important question. That's why I interrupted, okay? And by the way, let me tell you one study from the book. They looked at 2,000 women over a 10-year period that were unhappily married. those women that were unhappily married and didn't express their feelings were four times as likely to die as those women who were unhappily married and did talk about their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the responsibility we can take for our own well-being, is to be authentic about our feelings and emotions. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Your whole philosophy is beautiful. I mean, we separated mind and body with Plato, or I don't know where in history we started doing that, but bringing human beings into one, like the mind, the body, the soul is one thing. If we started applying your thoughts, what would that mean for the medical profession? How would that change what doctors do?
Well, it would mean that doctors would bring their amazing scientific knowledge and skills and techniques and treatments, but they wouldn't stop there. They would also bring in the knowledge of the mind-body unity, and they would say to people, okay, here are the physical treatments, and let's look at your whole life, and let's look at your traumas, let's look at your personality and how you're living your life, and let's look at the stresses. And maybe I, as a doctor, I'm not trained to do that, but let me guide you to somebody who can talk to you about these things. So it's not a question of throwing out medical knowledge. It's a question of bringing in the other science and the other wisdom about the unity of everything.
Beautiful, a beautiful thought. Thank you very much. You have written a wonderful book. I learned so much by reading it. I wish you all the best with your beautiful book, and take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Det här var allt från oss på Hälsorevolutionen idag. Hoppas att du har fått nya insikter som du gärna kanske vill dela med någon annan. Skicka vidare avsnittet till någon vän du tror kan ha nytta av det här i jobbet eller i livet.
Och har du tankar och synpunkter på det du har hört idag eller frågor, hör gärna av dig. Var rädd om dig och ha det bra.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.